Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sunday shopping. Why did the person ask, is Sunday shopping all right? Why not Monday? Why not Saturday? So this person's question implies that this person thinks that Sunday is special, and the person is right. Why is Sunday shopping a focus of our attention this evening? When the church began in the book of Acts, the Sabbath day, which was a Saturday, was shifted to the Lord's Day, because that was the day our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And when the Bible teaches us in the book of Acts, the early church, they met together on the first day of the week, which will be on a Sunday. And that means the special day for us as God's people in the New Testament is not the Sabbath day, which was a Saturday in the Old Testament, but the Lord's Day or Sunday. Now, having said that, is it all right for us to go shopping on Sunday? Based upon Numbers 15, you can go shopping on Sunday, but after that, you will be stoned to death. So you can, if you wear armor, and they're going to stone you until you die. So you can go shopping on Sunday in the Old Testament, but be prepared to accept that it will be the last day of shopping. In our age, in our time, there are certain groups that will say to their congregation that you are not allowed to go out on Sunday, not just shopping, but any kind of buying of things, including food. You can't go outside and buy breakfast, buy lunch, or even buy a dinner. Depends on where you count the beginning of the Lord's Day or Sunday, and where you decide when the day ends. And they will literally not allow their members, and they will say the members have sinned if they go out and buy a plate of chicken rice for lunch or for any other reason. Because to do so, you would encourage these people to open shop and break the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, Sunday. On the other end of the spectrum, you have people who will just pay their due by coming to church for a couple of hours, and then the rest of the Sunday or Lord's Day, they can do whatever they want. And so for them, shopping, going to the cinema, whatever it is, you just do it to your heart's content. You have already fulfilled your duty to God by coming to church. The rest of the day, just like the rest of the week, is no different. The only difference between Monday to Saturday and Sunday is that you spend a few hours together in church for worship. So you have one view. Anything goes on Sunday as long as you pay your dues. You come to church on Sunday. On the other end of the spectrum, everything is a no-no. So what exactly is the biblical view? Somewhere in between these two opposites, I believe, will be the biblical view. So the passage that we're going to look at this evening to help us understand whether it is right or okay for us to go shopping on Sunday. Because if it is okay, go ahead, it's fine. It's not a sin. But if it is not okay and you do it, it's a sin. Because we're going to look at it not from our church's position, but from the Bible's position. Now you look at Numbers 15, verse 27 to verse 41. Now the reason this passage is chosen is because of certain revelations that you find in this passage that you do not find in the regular passages on keeping the Sabbath day holy, like the passage on the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. It's just simply told, keep the Sabbath day holy. And then there are certain explanations given to us why it ought to be. The Lord Himself did it. But in this particular passage, ask yourself three questions to answer the main question. Alright, is Sunday shopping alright? Answer these three questions that will be posed to you, and then you're going to be able to answer the main question for tonight. So the first question is, who is Sunday for? Who is it for? If you look through the entire chapter of Numbers 15, one particular phrase would pop up. And that phrase is found in the text for our consideration as well. And if you look back to the other earlier verses, you're going to find the same phrase. Now, the phrase that I'm going to show you is verse 29, the last part. For the stranger that sojourneth among them. So in other words, if you are a stranger, you are not living in Israel, you are excused from everything that the Lord expects of you. Not only from the beginning of verse 15, but from the beginning of the book of Exodus, when the law was first given. In other words, the law was given by God, whether it is the moral law, that would be the Ten Commandments, whether it is the civil law, or whether it is the Levitical law, that would be the religious law, they are for Israel only. And if you are a stranger and you enter into the land of promise, then the law will also bind you. You find this same phrase in verse 16. One law, one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. So if you are a Moabite, you're living happily in your own Moabite home, in your own Moabite territory, you can do whatever you want. The law of the Sabbath or any other law of sacrifice, whatever it is, will not apply to you. But the moment you cross the border and you enter into the land of Israel, then the law applies to you. Verse 14 the same, and if a stranger sojourneth with you, that's the key. And then please understand in verse 2 of chapter 15 as well, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you. So the laws are to be applied after they entered into the promised land, after the conquest, after they have set up home and become a nation. So who is the Sunday for? Why did God give us the Sunday? It is given to the people of God. In the Old Testament, it was Israel. And that's why it is so important for Israel to keep the Sabbath day holy, because the rest of the world is not going to do it. I want my people to do it because they are special to me. And I want them to realize and understand that Monday to, or Sunday to Friday, is the time where you will keep your body and soul together. You work hard in the field. God understands. So out of 7 days a week, 6 days, you devote it for rest, for work, for whatever you want to do as a family, for your physical well-being. But on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, the last day of the week, God says, I want you to spend it with me. I do not want you to do any servile work. That means work that requires you to make money. That kind of work you do not do. Doesn't mean that you don't do any work. You realize that the busiest day for the priest in terms of serving the Lord, other than receiving offerings of the people throughout the rest of the week, on the other days of the week, that was the day where they're supposed to go into the holy place. They are supposed to bake showbread, and they are supposed to go in there and take out the week-old showbread and replace them with the new ones. Every Sabbath day, that was their work. It doesn't mean that you don't do any work. It means you do a different kind of work. It is a work of service. It is a work unto the Lord. It is a work whereby you do it for worship. You do a lot of work, but not servile work. Servile work is the work that you do to make money. It's a work that you do to keep body and soul together. But as long as a stranger is outside, you are excused. The moment you are inside this land, there is only one law, one manner for everyone in the land. So the stranger must also observe the Sabbath. So if a stranger breaks the Sabbath, he pays the price. Please realize this. That means the Sabbath was not for Gentiles. The Sabbath was for God's people. Yet it's for Gentiles if the Gentile enters into Israel. But if you are not part of Israel, you don't have to follow. So the Ten Commandments are not for unbelievers, it's for us, for the people of God. Now remember, in Israel, they were a national witness. Don't forget that. And as a nation, the civil law will apply. That's why when they break the Sabbath law, the civil law was stoned to death. Moses knew that. But in this particular instance, there was a problem. There was a difference. Because God said all these laws will apply when you enter the promised land. But now they are still in the wilderness. That's why when these men went out to pick up sticks, Moses did not know what to do because they are not in the promised land yet. But the moment you are in the land, it stands. That's why he said, we have to ask God, what do we do with such an individual? So they put him in prison to watch and to wait. So, who is Sunday for? Sunday is not for unbelievers. Sunday is not for non-God's people. It's only for God's people. But if you are in the land, it also will apply to you. Romans 1, when God judged the rest of the world, God did not use the Ten Commandments. God did not use special revelation. That's the Bible. God used general revelation. That was creation. And the Bible said, when I use creation to condemn mankind, God said they will be without excuse. So that means from creation, we know that it was sufficient to condemn man to hell. But it was not enough to save man. In order to save man, God had to use the Bible. But for the people of Israel who had the Word of God, general revelation that was creation was not enough to condemn Israel. That's Romans chapter 2. In order to prove that Israel is also condemned like the Gentiles, but God had to do it from a totally different approach. God cannot use general revelation because general revelation teaches only two doctrines that anybody who has the Word of God believe in these two doctrines. And the two doctrines are God exists and God is powerful. Israel believed this. So that's why God, the Apostle Paul, did not use general revelation but the Ten Commandments to condemn Israel. And so we know that the Ten Commandments, as Paul revealed to us in Holy Scriptures through the inspiration of the Spirit, that it was given for the purpose to show us how great sinners we are, to prove to us that we are great sinners, to show us how sinful we are. That is the purpose of the law. And that's why he says, the law killeth. The law was given to prove how great sinners we are, and that will kill us, strip us of all our pride, and that we will be bankrupt in our spirit and our soul. That is the purpose of the law. That means when they come into the church and listen to the gospel message, we can use the Ten Commandments to tell an unbeliever that you are a sinner using the Ten Commandments. But you do not use the Ten Commandments on the day of judgment to judge and condemn them if they have never been exposed to it. It was true in the Old Testament. It is also true today. And that's why those people who say that we should not go out and buy because we are encouraging them to open shop and break the Ten Commandments, they are wrong. They have misunderstood that the Sabbath was not for unbelievers, it's for us. But if they come into the church, then it will apply to them. That is why if you are inside the church, and if you say that you are a believer, you say you are, whether you are or not, we do not know. But the moment you're inside the church, keeping the Sabbath holy applies to you, just as it was in the time of Israel. But of course, we cannot use the civil law of Israel, that is to stone you to death. Because we are not a nation, we are a church. And if we stone you to death, the only thing we can use to stone you with will be our shoes. And you won't die. Because it's very hard to find stones in Singapore. It's true, isn't it? It's very hard to find stones. And the stones that you find, you've got to pay money to buy. The stones that we have are all very smooth and round, and we pay money to buy them, and so it's expensive. So please don't use it to stone anybody. It's expensive. We want them. Because you throw at him, the fellow catches it, he puts it in his pocket, he goes away and he earns money. So we don't use civil law. We use only ecclesiastical law, and so the worst thing we can do is excommunication. Alright? So, having said that, who is Sunday for? It's for God's people. It can be used for unbelievers if they come into the church. Now, does that mean now we can do whatever we want? No, because it is for God's people. So what was Sunday for? verse 27, 28, 29 tells us that it is for believers. Now, verse 30 to verse 36. What is breaking Sunday? What is breaking the Sabbath? Now, you watch. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, that means deliberately in a very high-handed manner, he knows it and he purposely breaks it. Now, previously, the earlier verses of chapter 15, it talks about sin of ignorance. The person did not know. Verse 27, if any soul commit the sin of ignorance, this is how he can rectify. He still sinned, but he has to rectify it once it is told to him. That means if a stranger comes into Israel and he breaks the Sabbath, he did not know, then a Jew will come and tell him, and after he is told, he still have to make restitution because it is still a sin. You may not know it then, but it is still a sin. This was also true in verse 24, and you'll find that this covers it very well pertaining to a stranger who was in the land. That's why for tonight, this passage was chosen for that purpose, to help us realize and understand that there is a clear distinction between God's people and the non-God's people, that is the stranger. But the moment they come in and mix with God's people, then whatever that is applied to God's people will apply to them, whether they are believers or not. So what does it mean? Now you watch. Presumptuously, deliberately, he knows it. Whether he be born in the land or a stranger. So the moment a stranger is taught and told the law, and then he breaks it on purpose. The same reproacheth the Lord. So he sins against God, and the soul shall be cut off from among his people. And we know what cut off means. In some instances, cut off means ostracism. In other instances, such as this one, cut off means stoned to death. But it means cut off. It could be cut off from all fellowship, that is ostracized, or cut off from this life, that means he dies. But it's still cut off. Why? Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall be utterly cut off. Guaranteed. No two ways about it. Why? Because his iniquity shall be upon him. He did it purposely and deliberately. Case in point. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. Now, this was presumptuous sin. He knew. But he was not in the promised land yet. That's why Moses was in a fix. And they put him in ward, that is in prison, because it was not declared what should be done to him. Because the law applies when they were in the land. They were not in the land yet. And then the Lord said to Moses, this man shall be surely put to death. Same kind of strength of emphasis as you find in Genesis chapter 2. The warning to Adam. You break what I have told you, the law. You cannot eat the forbidden fruit. The moment you do, you shall surely die. Same kind of strength of emphasis. Shall surely, definitely, 100% be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp, and all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses, because it was a presumptuous sin. He did it purposely, deliberately. He went out to pick up sticks. Now, why was this important? Remember, as a national witness, Israel was supposed to be the light to a world that was in spiritual darkness. They need to see how Israel relate to Jehovah God. And by the way that Israel live, the world who sees Israel, they are supposed to see Israel as if they are reading the Word of God. Page by page. Every day is one page. See how they relate to God on a week-to-week basis. See how they relate to God when they have sinned. They bring their offerings. See how they relate to God in every aspect of their life, from the way that they dress, from the way that they farm, from every part of their life. They are supposed to be a walking testimony of the grace and the mercies of God in their life. That was the nation of Israel. Now, supposing if one family just opened business on the Sabbath, they don't care. And nothing happens to them. You can rest assured, next family who sees it, they will also open. And before you know it, a whole village will also open. And before you know it, a whole city will do it. And before you know it, a whole tribe will do it. And before you know it, a whole nation will break the Sabbath. That's why the penalty is so strict and so severe. You are God's people. You must understand that the Sabbath was given to God's people by God for our good. for our benefit, for our blessing, so that God's people will not forget that you are God's people, that you have a spiritual duty to the rest of the world, to tell them about Christ, to tell them what it means to die in your sin and you end up in hell. But if you believe in the Lord Jehovah God, the God who has made us, the God who has made Israel, He is the one living and true God, and this is how you are to relate to Him, and you can relate to Him in a manner that is acceptable to Him. That's why one of the ways as a nation was to keep the Sabbath day holy. But when you have people deliberately, presumptuously break it, God says they die. Immediate. Very severe, because it will ruin the entire testimony of Israel. And the world will be plunged into spiritual darkness without a light. Please don't treat the 70 years of captivity as something that was trivial. Because for that 70 years, the world was plunged into spiritual darkness because there was no national witness. There was no spiritual light shining to the rest of the world other than pockets of individuals like Daniel and his three friends and Ezekiel and a few others. That's all. They were the remnant. But God gave a very bright light in the form of a nation of Israel. Live like the way that God wants you to relate to Him. It is not because you are tired. It has nothing to do with tiredness. It is spiritual. You think God was tired after He created the world in 6 days and He rested on the seventh day? God never gets tired. His power as God Almighty will never diminish because He is immutable. He is unchanging. He doesn't get tired. No matter how many times He creates, no matter how many times He has to use His power, He will never weaken, not even in the tiniest little bit. That's who He is. The moment He weakens, He ceases to be God, because He's immutable in His omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience. Always. That's who He is. And it is not because God says, you're going to be tired physically. God says, I don't want you to lose your spiritual focus. And that is why, for us, don't break the Sabbath day presumptuously, purposely. So that's why you cannot go shopping on Sunday. When you plan to go shopping, you purposely plan to go shopping. You are not allowed to. Make it as part of your pre-planned Sunday activities. However, if you need to, by all means need to, you can go. If your baby ran out of diapers, and he needs diapers, you don't say, I cannot go shopping. Pastor say, I cannot, so please use the newspaper. You don't do that. Go and buy the diapers. Right? By all means. But you don't purposely go and plan to go shopping. That is wrong. That is presumptuous. You purposely plan to break the Sabbath. You don't. The Sabbath is for us, for our blessing, so that you and I will not lose our focus as God's people, because we have replaced the national witness with an ecclesiastical, that is the church witness. And so there will be differences. We don't have any civil law other than the civil law that all the godly biblical churches exist in. So you have the civil law for us Singaporeans, churches in Singapore. And you have the civil law for the Japanese churches, the Korean churches, Indonesian churches, African churches, American churches, all different civil law, but the same spiritual law. You are to keep the Sabbath day holy, regardless of what country, what law that you have for the land. Because it is for God's people, just as it was for the nation of Israel only, and we are now God's people. Instead of one big bright light like a nation, God now broken this bright light into many small little lights. And these small little lights are the churches that God has sprinkled all over the world to be His witnesses. And God said that will be one of the signs of the Lord's return when the gospel is given to the whole world. Not that the world will be saved. And you will find that churches have already been sprinkled all over the continents. All the continents of the world have already been given the gospel. This is God's way for us. And therefore, since the Sabbath was for God's people in the Old Testament, and since we are the people of God in the New Testament, then the Sabbath applies to you and me. Not the other extreme. Legalism, it's wrong. Also not the other extreme where there's liberty. Liberty, just do whatever you want as long as you pay the 2-hour deal. You don't plan presumptuously to go shopping. But if you need to for emergency purposes, by all means. But don't deceive God and mock Him by saying every Sunday is an emergency. I mean, God knows. You don't play the fool with God. God knows. So, two questions already. Who is your Sunday for? If you are a child of God, then it's for you. What is the breaking of the Sunday? When you presumptuously, deliberately plan to go shopping. That's what it is. So, is Sunday shopping all right? Yes and no, isn't it? Yes and no. Third question. What does it mean to keep the Lord's Day holy? What does it mean? Verse 37 to 41. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now after this man had been killed, stoned to death, it must have been very traumatic for the rest of Israel to see one of their own being killed before their very eyes, and they had a hand in his death. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. So God wanted them to dress in a manner that is very unique, that is very special. And so from next Lord's Day onwards, Calvary Pandan members, you will be given a garment. Can or cannot? A garment. The purpose will be revealed to us, same purpose you find in verse 39, 40, same purposes, three of them. You see the three that, and that. That's the purpose, right? That ye may, that ye seek, that ye may remember, right? Three purposes. So, to make sure that we also fulfill these three purposes, and since we are just as forgetful as the people in Moses' time, we also need some kind of garment. Don't you think so? What do you think? What color do you like? Ribbon or blue? Maybe for the girls it'll be ribbon or pink. I like blue, so I think blue is a good color. Other Ko, what do you think? You like blue? Thank you, we are men. That's why men likes blue. So we're going to have a garment. And the purpose of the garment are given to us in verse 39 and verse 40. So if anybody asks you, why are you wearing this garment? Well, turn to Numbers chapter 15 and you will have the answer. That ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. So it's a very good garment to remind us by, isn't it? To remind us that we are God's people and that we must obey all the commandments of God. Not some. All the commandments of God, and do them. Obey them. Actually, not just to memorize them, but to do them. Now, these commandments will include when you sin, you bring all the necessary sacrifices. It does not mean perfection. It means when you sin, you make right your fellowship with God by dealing with your sin, including keeping the Sabbath day holy. Now remember, as a child of God, as a believer, you and I can keep all the Ten Commandments. The difference is that you cannot keep all the Ten Commandments all the time perfectly. That's our problem. But there is no Ten Commandments a believer, a truly born-again believer, cannot keep. He has now the indwelling of the Spirit of God to enable him to keep all the Ten Commandments, but his struggle is to keep it perfectly. Romans 7. That which he knew he ought to do, he does not do. Because as long as you are in this flesh, the weakness of the flesh will cause us to succumb to sin, even though the Spirit is willing to obey all the Ten Commandments without breaking any one of them, but the flesh is weak. Understand this. That is the struggle of the Christian, which the Bible calls sanctification. They also have it too in the Old Testament. So they have this garment given to them with the blue ribbon to remind one another, I see you wearing it, I'm reminded. You see me wearing it, you are reminded. When I see myself wearing it, I am also reminded. To do what? That I must obey all the commandments of God. That is the purpose number one. Purpose number two, that ye seek not after your own heart. When you break it, is it not you seek after it for your own heart's desire and your own eyes, what I want, what I see, after which ye used to go a-whoring. In the past, that was the old man. That was what we did, isn't it, as unbelievers. We did whatever we wanted. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, as unbelievers. So not only does it have a positive, it also has a negative reminder, that is, don't do it your way. Don't go your own direction. Don't do what you want. Don't do what your eyes see. Don't do what your own heart desires. As long as they are not in accordance with God's word, you have to realign it according to God's word. You have to realign your sight. You have to realign your heart's desire so that it will be in line with God's word and God's will and God's desire for your life. And keeping the Sabbath is one of them. When people break them, especially presumptuously, they are basically doing what God wants us not to do. Seek after our own heart and seek after our own eyes. Very true, isn't it? Whenever we break the laws of God, whatever it is in all relationship, whatever it is, whether it's in relation to God or in relation to our possessions or in relation to people or in relation to the Word of God, everything is our own desire. Is that not true? When you don't want to bring up your children according to God's will, you think that you are better than God. You think, I know how to bring up my children. God does not know. When you don't want to fix your relationship with your spouse, it's not because you do not know. You say, I know better than God. I will do it my way. That has always been man's problem. But God said that was what we were like as unbelievers. That's what He wants us. Which you used to go a-whoring. You pander after these things, you long for this way, you did it with all your heart, soul and mind as an unbeliever. God says, now as a child of God, stop it. No more. No more. God wants to remind them. Keeping the Sabbath is one of them. It's one of the ways. And thirdly, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Be holy. So what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day? To be holy. That's all. That's why we teach our people in this church that if you do not want to attend a watch night service on the last day of the year, if you do not want to attend our anniversary or any of the special days that is not on the Lord's Day, fine, by all means. Because that's our tradition. Our Christmas service, our Easter service, and some churches even have sunrise service. But if it is the Lord's Day, that is not man's tradition. That is not the tradition of the church. That is commanded by God. That day you don't rob God, you don't break it. Because to break it is to sin. To break it is to make yourself sinful so you will cease to be holy. That is why it is so important to keep the Sabbath day holy. As a day that you will devote unto the Lord, because it is a reflection of your sanctification and your heart's desire to be holy before God. That you trust in God to provide all that you need from Monday to Saturday, and then this day is what I will devote to the Lord. So no servile work, no business endeavors, no making of money on the Lord's Day. Period. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that you cannot go shopping, but it means that you do not deliberately plan to go shopping, because that would be presumptuous sin. You plan for it. Don't do it. Why? Because keeping the Sabbath is for our benefit, that we may remember God, that we may not forget who we are, what He has done in your life, and what your purpose is in this world. To be a reflection of God's grace and God's mercy to the world that is in spiritual darkness, especially your loved ones and your friends. They're not going to turn to the Bible. They're going to look at your life, and every day is one page that you are supposed to tell them who God is and what God has done for you in your life. Just as Israel, the nation, was supposed to do that, we as God's people today, as a church, is supposed to do that. We are not talking about legalism. Legalism is wrong. Libertinism, also wrong. Biblical is correct. That's what the Bible teaches. Why? I am the Lord your God. Verse 41. Is He not? which brought you out of the land of Egypt, which brought us out of the bondage of sin. To be your God, I am the Lord your God. Period. Don't do it for the church's sake. Don't do it for any man's sake. Do it because God is your Lord and your Savior. He is the Lord your God. That's it. Who brought you out of the bondage of sin. Period. If you truly have had that experience, how could you not keep the Sabbath day holy? How can you not do it? I just don't understand. The Bible made it clear. I am the Lord your God. That's it. To be your God, you keep the Sabbath day holy. You keep all my commandments because I am the Lord your God. That's it. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, this evening, that we may have a proper biblical understanding of what it means to keep the Sabbath day holy. For indeed, it is a day that you have set aside for your people, that we may live a holy life before thee and before all mankind. For the world is in spiritual darkness, and how they need to see the spiritual light. And may your people, O Lord, shine brightly that spiritual light to a world that needs to see Christ in us. And may we do it by keeping the Sabbath day holy. For some of us who may not have done so, may thou forgive us. May thou cleanse us of all our sins, even that of ignorance. But now that we have learned and known the truth according to Holy Scriptures, help us not to break it, for to do so, it would be a presumptuous sin. O Lord, forgive us, cleanse us, sanctify us, and cause us, O Lord, not only to obey thee on the Sabbath issue, but on all thy commandments. For this we ask and pray with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.